This audio production is brought to you by the Islamic Institute of Toronto.
اوكي شيخ تفضل ان شاء الله تعالى.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. اللهم لك الحمد كما ينبغي لجلال وجهك وعظيم سلطانك. ونصلي ونسلم على سيدنا ونبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. My dear brothers and sisters, it's my pleasure to welcome you to a new series, Illuminate Your Life, 101 Prophetic Traditions. In this series, inshallah, we will try to cover the entire roadmap from the prophetic wisdom, a roadmap for us to lead an examined, a spiritually and morally fulfilling life. And I would bring 101 authentic traditions from this treasury of the prophetic traditions, authentic ones covering various aspects of faith, moral practices, morals, character, spirituality, etc. Inshallah, I would urge you to stay with me as we continue the series. And today we would start with the first tradition, which is the most important tradition to begin with. And it's very important for us to understand this concept. And it is about aniyya, intention. So hadith number one, إنما الأعمال بالنيات or بالنية. Actions are judged by intentions. So I'm going to read the text in Arabic, and then I will the translation you will see, and explain the important concepts. And of course, when you have questions after observing or watching the presentation and trying to understand it, if you have any questions, you are free to raise the questions, inshallah. Here is a hadith, Rawahu Umar bin al-Khattab. It is reported by Caliph Umar, the son of Khattab. He said that the Messenger of Allah said, Innama al-a'malu bin-niyyah. In another wording, bin-niyyat. وَإِنَّمَا لِكُلِّ امْرِئٍ or here, وَإِنَّمَا لِمْرِئٍ مَا نَوَى فَمَنْ كَانَتْ هِجْرَتُهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ فَهِجْرَتُهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ وَمَنْ كَانَتْ هِجْرَتُهُ لِدُنْيَا يُصِيبُهَا أَمْ امْرَأَةٍ يَتَزَوَّجُهَا فَهِجْرَتُهُ إِلَى مَا هَاجَرَ إِلَيْهِ. Actions are judged by intentions, by intention. Everyone is rewarded according to their intention, whether male or female, everyone. If someone undertakes hijrah for the sake of Allah and His Messenger, his hijrah will be for the sake of Allah and His Messenger. If, however, a person were to make hijrah for some worldly gain or marrying a woman, then that would be their share of the hijrah. This is narrated by Umar bin Khattab, and the source is Sahih Muslim. Of course, the tradition is reported in other collections as well. The wording here is from Sahih Muslim, but of course there is another variant reading in Sahih al-Bukhari. Of course, it's also found in other collections. Caliph Umar is the reporter here. This is one of the few traditions reported by Umar al-Khattab. You may ask why, even though he is one of the preeminent companions of the Prophet, because he was busy as a caliph. He ruled for more than 10 years. And of course, he was busy, so he didn't have much time to narrate traditions. The reporter, Umar bin Khattab, is the second caliph of the foremost, most pious caliphs. And he was the first one to be called Amirul Mu'mineen, the commander of the faithful. The Prophet, peace be upon him, named him Farooq. Al-Farooq means someone who distinguishes the truth from falsehood. Of course, the Prophet said, if the shaitan was coming from the other way and Umar is coming through here, shaitan will leave and move to the other street because he wouldn't be able to face Umar ibn Khattab, because he was a man who was steadfast on the truth. He is considered second of the foremost companions of the Prophet. Of course, the first most excellent companion in Islam after Rasulullah, second first companion is Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, and the second is Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu. Of course, then Uthman, then Ali radiallahu anhu ajma'in. The rule of Umar is recognized as the golden period of Islamic rule administration. It witnessed one of the greatest expansions of Islam, and during his time, more than 12,000 pulpits were established, disseminating the message of Islam. The hadith is sourced in Sahih Muslim, also recorded in Bukhari and other sources with slight variations. Collections of Bukhari and Muslim are considered the most authentic, as-Sahihain. They are called as-Sahihan or Sahihain, most authentic collections of ahadith, and they are referred to these two scholars, compilers of traditions, are called as-Shaykhan, as-Shaykhin, the two grand sheikhs of hadith, because of their preeminence specialization in the hadith scholarship. The hadith that we have narrated, we have read and translated, is Sahih, it's authentic. It is regarded one of the most pivotal traditions in Islam. You know, it's half of all, you know, it's one of the three most important traditions on which the entire Islam revolves, as Imam Ahmad and others said. So this is the first of those three traditions. And this hadith stresses the critical role of niyyah, or intention, in all of human endeavors and pursuits. Every action that we perform, the critical niyyah has a critical role. It's integral condition. Niyya, according to Imam Nawawi, means intention. That is the meaning of the word niyya. To be more precise, it refers to mental resolution, azimatu qalb, or determination. In the words of Imam Baylawi, it is one of motivation for an action. What is our motivation for doing something? And what is the goal we want to seek to benefit, the benefit we are expecting from this action, or the harm we want to avoid by doing this? So this is the technical understanding. Of course, hijra literally means to forsake, to abandon, to leave. In Sharia, it means forsaking what Allah has forbidden. It is used in the following senses: forsaking sins, and moving from a domain of fitna, sedition, to be free to practice religion. Moving from the domain of kufr or fitna to a place where you can freely practice your religion. Where there is oppression and you find another place where you are free to, then you should migrate. So, example, hijra from Makkah to Abyssinia. It's the first hijra in Islam. Hijra from Makkah to Medina. Of course, you have prophets. Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam making hijra from his hometown, leaving his parents who persecuted him, is the people who persecuted him. He left the domain of fitna to be free to practice his religion. There is a report. Sometimes there is a question raised whether it is coming authentically from the Prophet, but definitely the concept is fine. It's sound. So wherever you find it good to live and practice your faith freely, Aqib, stay there. This is reported by Imam Ahmad. This tradition, Innama al-A'malu bin-Niyyat, as we said, is one of the foundational texts in Islam. Imam Bukhari said there is no other tradition more comprehensive, concise, and more beneficial for our religious practice. And that is why Imam Bukhari he put this hadith as the first in his authentic collection of traditions, Sahih al-Bukhari. The first hadith is Innama al-A'malu bin-Niyyat. And Imam Shafi said it represents one third of all knowledge. You know, actions involve one's heart or tongue or physical limbs or faculties. Of this, the action of the mind, which is intention, the heart, is the most important. Sometimes you fail to do something, you had the intention, but you could not do it, even though you could, if it was because of no mistake of because of unavoidable circumstance, you still get a reward for that mental deliberation or the niyya. So that is why, out of all the three, the action of the heart, action of the limbs, action of the tongue, the action of the heart is important, intention is most important. There are a number of verses, you know, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the mufassir of the Quran. So this tradition is an explanation of the concept that we are taught in the Quran in numerous places. Here are some of the verses which stress the important, the crucial role of niyyah. In Surah 98, verse 5, Allah says, وَمَا أُمِرُوا إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ. They were commanded only to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, devoting their faith to Him alone. So this purity of intention to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In Surah 22, verse 37, about the sacrificial animals, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, لَنْ يَنَالَ اللَّهَ لُهُمُهَا وَلَا دِمَأْوَا وَلَكِنْ يَنَالُهُ التَّقْوَى مِنْكُمْ. Neither their flesh nor their blood will reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but the reverence from you reaches Him. So what's in your heart? That goal that you have. If it is if you do this to seek the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then that is what counts in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. مَنْ كَانَ يُرِيدُ الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا وَزِينَتَهَا نُوَفِّ إِلَيْهِمْ مَا عَمَالَهُمْ فِيهَا وَهُمْ فِيهَا لَا يُبَخَسُونَ. In Surah 11, verse 15, whosoever desires the life of this world and its adornment, we shall pay them in full for their deeds therein, and therein they will not be deprived. Okay, so there are other traditions stressing the same point. In Tirmidhi we read, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts actions only if done purely for His sake. And another, people are resurrected, يُبْعَثُ النَّاسُ عَلَىٰ نِيَّتِهِمْ, according to their intentions. And another hadith, whoever fights to raise aloft the word of Allah, that alone is for sake of Allah. But whoever fights for gaining fame or glory or land, conquering land, he has no share of the reward. Now, applications of this tradition, the moral and spiritual value of actions is based on intention. Every act of worship in Islam, prayer, fasting, charity, hajj, they are not valid without the pure intention. The niyyah is an integral. And of course, you don't need niyyah for ordinary actions that we perform. Anything that is permissible, however, If we do it and with the pure intention of pleasing Allah as well, then it will be an act of worship and we will get reward for it. And another concept we need to understand, ostentation or desire for fame can render an act of worship futile, not future, futile, invalid. Fulayl ibn Iyad said, giving up an act for sake of people is ostentation, and doing it for sake of people is shirk. And then sincerity is to be free of both. If somebody wants to do a good deed privately, it's recommended unless it is a farz. The farz salat, do it in public, not private. Or the person, if the person is a leader, then people look up to him, then it is better for him to pray that sunnah before Luhur or after Luhur in the mosque. In either case, one should do it publicly. Of course, do it. In both of these cases, it's better to do it publicly. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us to understand the wisdom of the prophetic traditions. And inshallah, aqulu qawli hadha wa astaghfirullah li wa lakum. Inshallah, you may have some questions. I don't know whether we have time now, but you can send the questions and I will pick them up and answer them next week, inshallah.
You have been listening to an audio production by the Islamic Institute of Toronto, Education for Virtuous Living. Please visit our website at www.islam.ca.